Well, Lord, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. And as you reflect in this song about your cross, Lord, we thank you so much for the cross and the sacrifice that you made for us. We pray, Lord, today that that I would honor you, Lord, in your word. And we pray that you'd be speaking, Lord, as we open up your word and share with each other what you have to say to us today. And we just pray that we will be open to that. We just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. It is January 12th. It's the second week of the new year, so Happy New Year once again. Last week, we started talking about some vision. We're going to continue on with the whole vision theme this week. I also noticed there's a lot of new faces in our congregation today, and I hope you take the opportunity to greet some of them if you have the opportunity to do so. I'd like to start my message today with a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got upset about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. The end. And so today we're talking about the third point in our vision, which is getting involved. And just, I want to summarize again what we've discussed last week. Our general vision statement is to love people, to passionately follow Jesus. We want to live that out in four ways. There's four areas of focus we want to focus on for the next little bit, for the time being. And last week we talked about number one, to grow in God's word. There are many ways that we're going to challenge you to do that, but one practical challenge we gave you last week was to simply sign up in the foyer to read through the Bible in a year or so. And if you missed last week, you're absolutely welcome to do that and sign up with Jennifer Ravel at the welcome desk. Next, we talked about getting connected. I think a lot of people understood where I was coming from. There is this need in our culture for people to experience genuine connections and genuine friendships. And although there are many ways that we're going to move towards that, one practical challenge that we gave you last week was to join a care group, otherwise known as a small group. We gave opportunity for people to sign up in the foyer last week to do that, and you still have opportunity this week as well. So if you're not in a care group, we would encourage you to do so. This week, we're talking about getting involved, and we're going to talk about that in a second. And the fourth area, just as a summary, note of summary, is to share God's story. Anyways, you should know that there have been some things that have been implemented in the past few months, some that are being implemented during this sermon series, the other items that will take months of implementing and follow-up. But I think it's important not to move too slow that we discourage, or too fast that we misinform or get people burnt out. You should know that I'm encouraged with the pace at which we are moving. And so today I want to talk to you about three things I want you to understand when it comes to getting involved, and three challenges, again, when it comes to getting involved. And so getting involved, what does that mean and why is it so important? Well, I think it's so important that we use our gifts to serve the body of Christ. And as we serve in a suitable place based on our gifts, our passions, our interests, everyone benefits. Those who serve, I believe, are exponentially more committed to the church. As people serve, there seems to generally be a greater desire to grow in one's relationship with Christ. So serving and getting involved is a very important foundational thing. I don't know if you know this, but an incredible amount of our theology of God, humans, creation, all the rest, comes from a few chapters, the first few chapters in the book of Genesis, the first three chapters. And so if we're going to talk about serving, I think it's so important to go back to Genesis, the first two chapters, and just read about a little bit about how God created the world. I want to start with Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. These verses will be displayed for you if you don't have a Bible. This talks about how that God gave us work and responsibility when God created the world. And it's seen as a good thing. So starting at verse 26 of chapter 1, it says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So God created everything good. He created everything perfect. And in this perfect world that God created, God gave humans a job. He gave them a task. Now let's move on to chapter 2. Verses 15 and following. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God is giving humans a job here. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it from it, you will certainly die. And so before sin entered the world, God created human beings. He created them good. He gave them a job and he gave them responsibility. And I also believe that we will all have jobs in heaven. I think we think of heaven sometimes as a mystical, dreamy place where we just kind of sit around and eat chicken wings. I really hope there's good food in heaven. But I really do think we're going to have work in heaven because it's a good thing that God created. We had work at creation. We'll have work in eternity. So this tells me that working, doing stuff, getting involved are all good, honorable things. It's a privilege, and we should do it with willingness and a sense of pride and take it seriously. So, the first point might be obvious to some, but it's very important to understand that, number one, God created us to serve. God created us to serve. There is a study done with Cornell University. They spent 30 years following 427 women. The researchers found that only 36% of women who regularly volunteered had experienced a major illness, while 52% of those who never volunteered had a major illness. That's a significant difference. Other studies indicated that those who volunteered their time lived longer than those who didn't. Frequent volunteers had a 44% reduction in early death when compared to non-volunteers. Scientists also identified precise areas of the brain that are highly active during empathetic and compassionate emotions. These brain studies show that profound state of joy and delight that comes from giving to others. And I believe that we were created. God created us with a need to work and to serve and to help others, volunteer, and so on. And so I want you to listen carefully here. I believe that involvement in ministry is so important that I believe it's impossible to mature as a believer without being involved in some way. I really feel that. It's an important part of maturing in our walk with the Lord. The other day I was doing the dishes. I was doing them at a good pace. My son was getting really mad for some reason. He was getting all rowdy. He was yelling at me. Not really yelling at me. But he was just really cranky. And my son doesn't even speak English yet. And so he's looking up at me and he's saying, I translate that and I figure out that he wants to help me do the dishes. And so I give him a cup and I walk over with him. I direct him to the children's cupboard. We have a children's cupboard. And he puts the one cup in the thing and then we walk back to the dishwasher and I proceed to give him another cup and another plate. And he walks back to the cupboard and he puts it in the cupboard. All of a sudden, Mr. Rowdy turns into Mr. Responsible. And then the dishwasher is done, and then I start loading up the dishwasher, and I'm just doing it all by myself, and this thing repeats. He gets all rowdy. He gets angry. Okay, that means he wants to help with load the dishwasher. So I give him a cup. He takes that cup, and he chucks it in the dishwasher. And he goes, more! And so I give him a cup, and with one hand, I'm feeding him cups. With the other hand, I'm fixing what he's doing in the dishwasher. And so what would have taken me 1 or 2 minutes to do myself took me maybe 10 or 20 minutes to do with my son. But as soon as my son was given a job, he became Mr. Responsible, and he became confident in himself. There was just a different type of demeanor that he had while helping. And you know, adults are not that different than children in that regard. We all have a need to contribute and to get involved. In 2006, there were 8 workers at a meatpacking plant in Nebraska who were paid close to minimum wage, and they each had won $15.5 million each. Apparently, that was the largest lottery in U.S. history. They asked reporters not to interview them at home so they could sleep in order to go to their evening shift that night. so that they wouldn't be leaving their employer in a bind. And so even though they won this mass amount of money, they still found value in their work. And so I want to speak to those who are involved in somehow equipping people, whether you're elders or pastors or ministry leaders or care group leaders, etc. I need you to pay attention. One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is a job. Give them something to do. And I believe that church growth is directly related to people finding places to serve. People will leave if they don't get involved, or at the very best, their attendance will be sporadic. I believe that growing churches are the ones that help their people get involved. The second point is this. I've said this before in a previous message, but it's worth saying again, and it's this. We are all pastors, we're all priests, and we're all ministers. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And now, many of you know this story, but it's such a good story, I'm going to share it again. Many of you have never heard this story before, so I'm just going to share it. My wife and I had two kids, Bella and Sierra. My wife desperately wanted another child, and we were trying for a while, and we finally got pregnant, had a miscarriage, and that made it even worse for my wife. And so she was really, really wanting a third, as I did, but women are different. We were praying, and all of a sudden, one day, we're at home, we put the children down for a nap, and we do what married couples do to make a baby, and it's an important part of the story, but I'm sorry. Anyways, we come downstairs, we go to the living room, our babysitter was there as a witness. My two-year-old daughter, she's still in diapers, she speaks half English, so a little better than my son. She walks up to my wife, and she goes, "Mommy." Heather goes, "Yes." She goes, "A baby." She points to my wife's stomach, and Heather says, "What?" Sierra says, "God said." "God said what, Sierra?" "God said there's a baby in your tummy." And shortly after, Heather was pregnant with Gillis. We saw there God speaking through a two-year-old toddler who can barely speak English. We're all priests. We're all pastors. We're all ministers. God will speak through anyone. He spoke through a donkey. And in the same way, he will use anyone who's willing to be used by him. I'll often listen to people share their ideas and opinions and wonder if God is speaking through them. Sometimes people are out to lunch, but I know that many people have some really good insight in our church. And so whenever someone offers me, throws a bug in my ear, I kind of wonder, is God directing us in that direction, in that way? Some people are of the opinion that there are only a select few whom God will speak and work through. Now there's a theological term for that. It's a four-letter profound, a Greek word, and I want to spell it for you. It's spelled this way. D-U-M-B. Dumb. God does not just speak through a select few. I believe if you are living for God, that God will speak in through any one of you sitting here today. And not only will he speak through you, he will work through you as well. So we're all priests, we're all pastors, we're all ministers, and we all have a responsibility before God to serve and get involved. The third point is very brief, and I just want to say this, that getting involved helps you get connected. You know, some of these points in our vision will actually overlap. And as you fulfill one, you might actually and accidentally fill another. And that's a good thing. Our church put on a huge production. My previous church put on a huge drama production. Maybe one of the best things that happened was because so many people were so involved and had invested so much time in the drama and serving that people had said, "Man, I've never connected so much to my church body before." And as you serve, you're going to find, naturally, it's going to help you connect. I've also had times where I used to be a youth pastor, and I used to teach Bible lessons to the junior high, but sometimes the youth leaders will come up to me afterwards, and they would say, "Ryan, you know, the lessons are made for the junior high, but I'm learning just as much as they are." So when you get involved, you have a tendency to get better connected, and you also have a tendency to grow in God's word, two other things that we're shooting for. So those are three things that I want you to understand when it comes to getting involved. I'd like to also just switch gears now and give you three practical challenges when it comes to getting involved. And the first challenge I'd like to give you is to, number one, serve where you are gifted. I want to read a passage from Romans 12, verse 4 and following. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I think one person who's living this out right now, and there's a lot of people who are living this out, serving where they're gifted and passionate about and interested in, but I know Tony Richardson is serving in our visual media ministry. He's been also helping out the church quite significantly in technical things, and man, he has brought us to a new level. I believe that Tony is serving in his hot spot, and it is blessing our church, and it's blessing him, I'm sure, as an individual. So thank you, Tony, so much. He's giving me a thumbs up. I also want to say this, that, I talk to a lot of people and sometimes they don't really know where they're gifted. I don't like that question either. When someone asks me, Ryan, where are you gifted? In some ways, it's kind of a weird question. But God does gift us in different ways. Sometimes it's not giftings, but sometimes it's, where are you interested? Where are you passionate about? What are some life experiences that you think would perhaps benefit someone else? In 1992, I heard of a family, Rosemary and Luther Smith, of Kentucky, who lost two sons in a car accident. And so as a result, they created a ministry to other parents who have lost a child. And so the ministry has resulted in them sending more than 5,000 care packets to grieving families. So they used a life experience and interest, and they turned it into a ministry. Another person, a woman by the name of Teresa in Chicago, struggled to find a place of service in her church. She couldn't just find a place after numerous attempts. Realizing she had gifts in beautification, haircuts, and manicures, she offered these services as a ministry to the less fortunate in her community. Again, she took some talents and some interests and turned it into a ministry. Bill Cornwell. Bill noticed that the hallway down here, hey, it needed painting. And guess what? He came up with an incredible solution. He offered to paint it. And so, Bill, I am looking forward to when that hallway gets painted. And when you're done that, you can come and paint my house. Heather White, sitting over here, Greg and Heather are somewhat new to the congregation since April. She suggested a ministry that hasn't been officially approved yet, but I know when that comes around to happening, I know she'll make a great fit. So thank you, Heather, for initiating that thought. Tiffany Martin has answered a call to help with nursery. Thank you, Tiffany, for doing that. Lisa Bradley, this past week, has offered to organize a social to go to an Abbotsford Heat game. So people are taking initiative, and it is so encouraging. And that's what we want to see in our church. It's awesome. I was very encouraged to hear Larry's report at the annual general meeting when he told us that this was the easiest year for the nomination committee to fill positions of service in our church. And we can praise God for that. Am I accurate in saying that, Larry? Amen. As a side note, I'll be meeting with the nomination committee tomorrow night to bring a few challenges to them to see how we can do this even better, getting people involved. The second challenge I have for you is number two, to be willing to be held accountable as we serve. Hebrews 13:12 says this, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And again, I'm highlighting a lot of people here today, but I just want to highlight Ryan Carlson. I know music guys get really picked on sometimes, so I just want to say that Ryan has been so teachable, he's been so flexible, he's got such a workable attitude when he's working with me, that he's honestly making my ministry here an absolute joy. So thank you, Ryan, so much for your attitude. Yeah, why not? So no matter who we are, we all have someone that we're accountable to. So let's embrace accountability with a good attitude, as that makes life so much easier for everyone. The last thing I want to say, the last challenge that I have for you today is that I want you to consider, as you serve, to commit to serving for the long term. Pastor spoke at a funeral of a man who worked on the Boeing 747 aircraft. After the funeral, he spoke to the man's wife and discovered that his contribution was working on a switch box the size of a small loaf of bread, and he did that for 15 years, just a mechanical switch box of some kind. But, she said, When that 747 lifted off the ground for the first time, it was the happiest day of his life. 15 years. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, one of the reasons I was attracted to this church was because you have had two pastors that have served long term before me. I think that's a good thing. At my previous church, I had the privilege of seeing a couple of kids come through youth group. I eventually had the opportunity to marry them. And then after they got married, eventually they had some children, and I was able to dedicate them. And that was just an awesome privilege for me to do because I was there for relatively a long period of time. When I was a youth pastor, I always encouraged volunteer youth leaders to serve long term. 2 years was the minimum. 4 years was good. And anything above that was great. Yeah, we had a youth leader serving for 25 years. That was awesome. By the time I got there, he was serving in youth ministry longer than I had been alive. And that was incredible. And I know there are some long-term serving people here, and I want to say, hey, keep it up. Don't get tired. I don't get tired of doing good. So just again, in summary, a few of my points here. That number one, God created us to serve. Number two, we need to understand we are all pastors, priests, and ministers, so we all have an obligation to get involved and do something. Number three, getting involved helps you get connected. The three challenges I have for you is number one, serve where you are gifted, interested, / passionate about. Number two, be willing to be held accountable. And number three, consider serving for the long term. I want to close my message today with a thought, or rather a song, that summarizes a lot of what I've been saying in the past couple weeks. And this is probably a perfect song for what I've been trying to share with you. So go ahead.
Sometimes I just want to close my eyes and act like everyone's all right. They're not. This world needs God, but it's easier to stand and watch. I could say a prayer and just move on, like nothing's wrong. But I refuse, 'cause I don't want to live like I don't care. I don't want to say another empty prayer.
So I hope you refuse to believe that God's work is second class or optional. So I encourage you to find a place to serve. Sometimes people can think of it themselves. Sometimes they need help. I don't know what to do, but I want to do something. Well, either case, let's talk. You find a place to serve and find a place to get involved because it's so important. Last week, I gave you a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, which says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." We don't have time to talk about that. I'm going to push that back to next week. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it today or next week, but I will get to it next week as we talk about the fourth area of vision, which is to share God's story. That being said, I'm just going to close in prayer here and invite the worship team to come back. Lord, thank you so much for good morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you created us. When you created the world, that you made everything good and that you gave us a job and you gave us some responsibility. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be directing our hearts. You would work through the elders. You would work through the nomination committee. You would work through various leaders to figure out ways as to how we can do a better job at equipping each other. We pray, Lord, for individuals who maybe are shy or not sure where to start, that you would just direct them and direct their paths and see what fit that you have for them here at our church. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.